earth, and sky.
10% of the world's population lives on or around active volcanoes. And so each day volcanoes are erupting and thousands of lives are at risk. And it's certainly a region of academic study that's important.
You're listening to volcanologist Michael Ramsey, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Ramsey studies volcanoes both up close and with images from NASA's Terra satellite. He spoke with Earth Sky's Jorge Salazar about the science behind the search for signs of volcanic eruptions.
Dr. Ramsey, welcome to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science.
Thanks for having me.
Now, I understand that it's your job to look at volcanoes from space.
We tend to look at volcanoes using mostly the Terra platform and specifically the Aster satellite and the Aster sensor that's on the Terra satellite. And we look at a wide range of activity, looking at volcanoes that may be inactive all the way up to ones that are in active eruption. And we can look at various things, including the thermal output, the temperature that's happening at the volcano, as well as potentially gases that are coming off, changes in the landscape around a volcano as it builds towards an eruption.
Could you maybe tell us a little bit more about how you do this, how you study volcanoes, and a little bit more about the satellite that you use? You mentioned the NASA Terra satellite. What are the instruments on board there? What are they doing? Tell us more about that.
Sure. Terra satellite was launched back in late 1999, and it's been one of the workhorses for NASA Earth Science, and it's primarily geared at looking at solid Earth processes. And there's multiple sensors on the satellite. The one in particular that I use is Aster. It's actually a joint instrument built in Japan, and the science team is both Japanese and U.S. And the sensor itself is very unique in that it's has multiple wavelength ranges, so we can see both kind of what the human eye sees all the way out into the thermal infrared, and that allows us to look at different scales, different energy that's coming off the surface. And in particular, one of the things that my research is geared on is using Aster kind of as a zoom lens or a telephoto lens to look at very small scale processes at volcanoes. We have a system in place with the Alaska Volcano Observatory and the Russian Academy of Sciences where we look at volcanoes in the North Pacific, mainly Alaska and Kamchatka. And we use other satellites, weather-type satellites, that may be observing that part of the world every 15 minutes up to about every 6 hours. And if one of those satellites sees a thermal alert, we call it, a change in temperature from previous observations, it actually sends us a email alert and sends a signal to the Aster satellite or the Aster sensor and allows that sensor to kind of look over and observe that volcano. So we get a much higher res view of what's going on.
Yeah, maybe you could tell us more about this thermal alert and also about, I understand that one of your goals is to develop an early warning system for volcanic eruptions. So what are some of these early signs that you're looking for, and how do scientists go about finding them?
Well, one of the downsides of using the higher res satellites is that they typically have a lower, what we call a repeat time. So we can get very good high resolution images of the Earth's surface, but we might not be able to get them every 15 minutes or an hour. If you're trying to watch a volcano or look for hazardous changes in a volcano, you're going to want that kind of what we call a temporal resolution, a high time frequency. So we rely on the weather satellites more because of the time frequency, but their resolution is much lower, kilometer or more in terms of their pixels, whereas Aster, we're looking at 15 meters to 90 meters. So it's more the scale of a football field rather than the scale of half of a city. What we're hoping to do in the future is be able to combine both of those. So if you had multiple satellites at higher resolution or the ability to point and look at volcanoes at a much higher frequency, we could really combine both. So to get back to your original question, when what we see with the weather satellites is typically nothing more than just a hot pixel. We'll have a whole image of the land surface or the ocean, and you might see one or two lit up pixels in that image, and that tells you that there's an intense amount of heat coming off that volcano. And that's typically only happens when you have an eruption. So then The thermal alert goes out through the software at the Alaska Volcano Observatory and the University of Alaska in Fairbanks, and it goes through the NASA chain up to the Terra satellite, and ASTOR observes that volcano as soon as possible.
And so in addition to taking data from satellites, I understand that you've seen volcanoes up close. How close have you gotten to a volcano? Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, one of the things we do, at least in my research program, is we don't just sit in the lab and look at computer screens. We actually go out into the field all over the world, taking data that essentially helps validate or verify the information we're getting from satellites. Because not only do we just want to take a pretty picture and say, oh, that volcano is hot, we actually want to do something much more quantitative with those satellite data. We want to understand what's going on in each pixel. We want to understand where the heat is coming from, what types of geologic material is on the surface, what is the gas composition. So when we go out in the field, we try not to be too close, but we can be up to, you know, either right at the vent if the volcano is safe enough, or typically if it isn't an active eruption, we might be several miles away taking the same kind of data.
Yeah, and I understand that this has its risks, and that you yourself were nearly killed by a volcanic eruption. Would you like to tell us more about that?
The event was in 2000 in Indonesia, and luckily I was very, actually mildly injured, but some of my colleagues were not. We were at a volcano called Mount Semeru in Indonesia, and working with some Indonesian scientists, they were collecting similar kind of information on the gases coming out of this volcano. We were there to observe what they were doing. We actually weren't at that stage taking our own data. We were there for another international meeting, and we were just observing the experts, the scientists who work on that volcano every day, collect data, and unfortunately, it tends to do an eruptive style that will produce just mainly steam and some ash, very kind of mild eruptions. They look dramatic when you're close to them, but they're relatively mild in the grand scheme of things. But unfortunately, at that time we were up there, it erupted where it actually had magma to reach the surface, and that kind of magma exploded and fell as large cooling blocks, which unfortunately killed two of the Indonesian scientists and injured several of the other scientists that I was with.
That was volcano expert Michael Ramsey, an associate professor at the University of Pittsburgh in the Department of Geology and Planetary Science. Our thanks to NASA's Terra mission, helping us better understand and protect our home planet. To subscribe to this and other free science podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Deborah Bird for Earth Skies, Clear Voices for Science.
We're at earthsky.org.